Good morning. This week I learned a new phrase. Brand new phrase. The path of totality. I was on the road a lot, and I'll say something about that one before we leave this morning, and thank you for that. But I was hearing, if you want to get in the path of totality, well, I mean, I was on the road for most of what was going on. I was in a bad rain, and finally when I got home, and Tyler and I, we couldn't find the path of totality. There were clouds everywhere. There was rain everywhere. But what was the idea? The concept is get into the path in the direction that you know that this thing is going to be seen. Well, let me tell you about this morning. I'm asking you to get into the path of totality to catch what God's getting ready to pour out upon us today. Get to the right spot where you can see it. Get to the place where your heart is to the part that you got to get to the right spot to hear. So I like that word, and maybe there'll be a message one day about that, about the path of totality. There's, you know, some areas you could see part of it, but there's other parts where you could see it in total, and you had to be where? In the right spot. You had to be in the right place at the right time. Speaking about the right word and the right spot, stand to your feet. Let's make our affirmation together. Hold your word up. We'll say it loudly. It is our affirmation this morning. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Once again, this word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Look around at two people and say, I really believe that. You may be seated. God bless. What do I base this word on? I base what I just read to you from Psalm 119, longest chapter in the scripture, but it's fun. It's right in the middle of your Bible, by the way. Verse 89 says it this way, your word, Lord, is eternal. You see that? It stands firm in the heavens. Notice that. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. God's word stands. Therefore, on this I stand. I stand today on God's word right now. Let me ask, how's your appetite for the word? You know, your appetite for the word usually varies on how difficult your life has been. You know, you don't think of it until, you know, do not read unless of emergency, don't break glass. People treat the word that way when it gets, oh, I got to find out what the Bible says about it. Well, that's not the object. There needs to be, you want to know if you're growing or how you're growing. Is there a hunger for you to hear more of the word? And do you want to hear more of the word? A man by the name of Lawrence Turow said this statement. He said, personally and truthfully, I really love spending quality time reading and studying my Holy Bible. There is so much that I just don't know, but I am willing to learn. As a matter of fact, I want to learn more. Is that a great deal? Lawrence Turow, you might know that name, but you might know him by this name. Lynn, put it up. Let's see. You know him as Mr. T. And he sent that out on his social media this week. Mr. T said that, I want to know more of the word. I want to know more about it. Regardless of the threat, regardless of the fear, regardless of the circumstance, this word needs to be the foundation of my life, and that is how I stand today. It is filled with hope. It is filled with inspiration. It is filled with instruction, but the scripture is also filled with many, many promises. Many promises. We sang the old song one day, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. Let me tell you a story about a man. He lived in the 1800s. He actually lived into the early 1900s. His name was Russell Carter. Russell Kelso Carter went by his middle name. He was a star athlete at a military academy. He was an excellent student. He then became a successful teacher, a coach. He then moved on and he became an ordained Methodist minister. And even while he's doing all of that, he went to medical school and became a doctor of medicine. Now, on the same, talk about a highly motivated, qualified guy. He was also, for fun, a musician and a songwriter. Well, life is good for this guy. He's got everything. He's a doctor. He's a teacher. He's a star athlete. He goes back to his hometown. They know who he is at the diner. They see him. He's got, but then one day something happened in Mr. Carter's life. He was a professed Christian, naturally. He was a pastor. But it wasn't until a crisis with his natural heart. It was his natural heart where he was having troubles. Now, this was in the middle 1800s. And you know what the care was probably like then. It was at that point where the doctor said, I don't think we can do anything for you. He's 30 years old. He is in critical condition. The doctor said, we can't do any more for you. And it was then that he kicked, like I said a few minutes ago, that he kicked it up a notch, so to speak, and turned his direction and his life firmly to the point that he said, here's the line that marks it. Kind of reminds me, in case of emergency, read the directions. He'd preached it. He had written about it. He knelt down, actually, and he made a promise. And here's what he said to God. God, whether you heal me or not, whatever happens, my life finally and forever is going to be fully consecrated to you, Jesus. And at that moment, the written word was quickened in his mind. He began to stand on the word of healing, the promises that the word had talked about healing. He had determined to believe no matter what his physical condition was, no matter how he felt, he was going to believe what God had promised in his word. And over the next several months, his strength miraculously began to return. His heart was completely healed to the point that Russell Kelso Carter lived another 49 years. He lived he lived 49 years. And one of the landmark things in his life was a hymn that he had actually started writing on even before he was sick. And the words of music came alive to him. You will know it as the song called Standing on the Promises was actually published in 1886. He wrote the first verse, Standing on the Promises of Christ my King. You remember the tune? Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. You know it. And remember the chorus? Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, hold the stand. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Those of you who grew up in church, that was a great Sunday night song, wasn't it? We all come together and sing the inspirational Sunday night songs. So much word, so much doctrine in these words, this hymnology word. A few weeks ago, my pal Mike and I were having lunch. And we try to get together periodically. And Mike started talking about in his personal devotional time, one of the things that we have a mutual enjoyment for is the hymnology. Mike, come here real quick. And he said something. And I said, you know what? That's got me thinking about something when we were talking. And I want to remind you, I like what we sing today and what we sing. It's on the radio right now. And it's popular right now. And keep all of that. You need all of these things. But don't forget. Tell me what you said about when you were doing your devotions.
Sure. I mentioned that. Thank you. I have this book.
I was going to give it to you.
Oh, I have it. I have it autographed.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Mine's autographed. Anyway, Mike and I were sharing, and I just shared the impact of some hymns in my life. I had been saved in the Assemblies of God, and we basically sang the same 10 hymns in some combination of three over and over and over and over and over again. I've got a mansion just over the hill. There's power in the blood. They're good gospel hymns, but I was fortunate enough to go to a Bible school in New York where I learned dozens of scripture songs, but also great English hymns. And what I do in my devotional time when I have it, I don't have it every day. I'm not going to say I read the Bible every day, but I usually read a hymn. I open my hymnal, and I read that hymn and this hymn, and occasionally God speaks to me through it. And I've read it through a couple of times, but there was one hymn. I want to mention two hymns. One was by a man named John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. He wrote a song, Come, My Soul, Thy Suit Prepare. By suit, he doesn't mean suit. He means argument. And it's, come, my soul, thy suit prepare, for Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself hath bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. For thou art coming to a king, therefore with thee large things bring. Spoke to my heart. It was just, it hit me. And it was this one hymn I shared with Michael, too, that became sort of my life's theme. And it's, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. That's it, just a simple phrase. That's, I don't care when Jesus is coming back. I don't care about eternal security or eternal insecurity. I'm secure in Jesus' love for me. And everything comes to that.
All right, now I asked, did you see how you went like that? Why does it have to be just him? Why can't it be you? Why can't it be you going back and reading some of those lyrics? Some of the great hymns of the church, those are so important, as he mentioned. But some of the grand sounds that were brought, be this while life is mine, my canticle divine, may Jesus Christ be praised. I mean, it's full of things like that, right out of Scripture. Russell Kelso Carter wrote, standing on the promises. Speaking of standing, as the intentional distractions are escalating, in 2024, the challenge to stand is bigger than it was in 2023, in 2022. The things we're dealing with right now that you don't even think about, that you hear on your TV now, you blushed when you were a little kid. Your grandma blushed. And now what is said, it doesn't even faze us anymore. We need to stand more than ever right now. The demonic madness is crazy. The things that are being said, and people say demonic, crazed things, and media today doesn't challenge them unless it's something about the Scriptures of Jesus Christ. There's a school teacher in one of our schools out west, stood up in his class in Seattle and said, the rape of a Jewish woman is justified. It's okay to rape Jewish women in a school class. He's not been fired yet, but we're dealing with a cesspool of hatred and savagery going on in our schools right now. Welcome to the war. How do you stand amidst all of these things? How do you still stand? How do you stand? The spiritual wickedness, as I read for an entire month in a row, the spiritual wickedness in high places is unashamed, it is ready, it's committed to destroy this world. In fact, they will destroy this world before they give up control. So therefore, I take you back to a familiar word that I opened the year with. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong. One scripture says, stand strong in the power of his might. The Amplified Bible right there says, draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. Read that again. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. Put on, the next verse, daily, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? To stand against the wiles, meaning the assaults, the schemes, the strategies of the devil, so that you can stand. You understand? He's not expecting you to hide and retreat, that you can stand in the midst of all of that. And remember what I read every week for a whole month. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, he's not saying nothing. He's not saying everything's rosy and it's not happy and cute and we're singing happy. No, he said, I'm all these things. Therefore, take up or pick up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And then having done all of that, I'm expecting you to do what? To stand. It's more important than it was last month even.
even last week, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, which with you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and then take the helmet of salvation. Man, when that salvation comes, that's your head, your brain, your mind, your ears, what you see, what you say, it's all up there right now. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful. Notice the word watchful. Watchful, he's actually saying, watch how you stand. Watch how you walk. Watch how you do life right now. So many people right now, they love the God part. They shake. They get excited. They wave their hands. They love to sing the songs. They've got the bumper sticker and all of it, but they're not being watchful of what's going on. And things are creeping up while we're just singing and playing and having our party, being watchful. And how do we stand? How can we stand against all of this? Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and the supplication for all the saints. And for me, pray for me too while you're at it. The saints, he's not meaning those ones that are dead. He means all of believers together, okay? Praying, and we're all saints. We're all kings and priests unto God right now. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I always thought this was one of those unusual juxtaposition of words that don't seem to match. His last thing where he says, for I am an ambassador in chains. If you're in chains, you're not an influencer, are you? You're a prisoner. No. It's beyond the natural thing of what he's seeing, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So stand therefore in the evil day. Stand, the winds are blowing. So how do we stand? How do we stand? We need more than a song and a memory verse. How do we stand? Right now, normal, and I actually put it in quotes, what people call normal human beings are not capable of understanding the level of evil that we are dealing with right now. Normal human beings cannot understand the level of evil in which we're facing in the world. They cannot comprehend it. They don't believe it right now. Oh, that really could not. They're not really doing that with these little children. They're not doing those things. They're not taking chemicals out of their brain and doing things to create trauma on little children. They're not really doing those things. They don't mean it. We're just helping people. No. They don't want to believe it, and they're living the la-la thing. They're not being watchful, as the word said. They're not capable. But here's what you got to know. We can't respond like normal human beings. Because we're not. First off, you got to know I must stand on the promises of God so that I can continue and even get up tomorrow morning. The second verse of Mr. Carter's song said, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Now notice, how do you keep going? Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Did I read all that? Standing on the promises of God. A promise you can bet your life on. Forget taking it to the bank. I'm talking about your life. But the question is, why do we stand? You need to know that as we stand, and if you read what Paul wrote there a little more carefully, but I've been through it so much, I don't want you to zone out on me if I read it again. But there's too much there. It's part of our job, got it? It's part of our calling to stand. When we stand, we're actually telling the gospel story. When we are standing, when everything is going to hell all around us, we're actually a testimony of the gospel story. Paul said, even though I'm in chains, I am an ambassador. I am an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ in here right now. Alan Jackson, who says so many great things, y'all ought to listen to him sometimes, pastor out of the Nashville area. He said it this way, we not only have the responsibility to engage what's happening with our world, I think it's part of our biblical mandate. You got that right there? Now, it's not there right now because I'll pick up after the dots in a minute. But between the dots, he also said this, I don't know how we can be salt and light if we don't have the courage to talk about what we're reading in the newspaper and what's going on in our communities. And he picks up with the dot. We desperately need a biblical perspective on what's going on in our world. You can't have that unless you are strong, firm, standing on God's promise. You must hold on to the promise of God. You must believe in the promise of God's word. You must stand on God's word. Those three things are strong. Hold on, believe in, and stand on. That's the word of the Lord for us today. So what does it really mean right now? What does it really mean to stand? What does it mean when I say I will stand on the promise? Well, one area it means even with our salvation. We walk in that promise when we prayed the first prayer in faith and walked away. Mr. Kelso's third verse said it this way, standing on the promises, I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, I'm standing on the promises of God. That excited me more than your faces are telling me it's getting to you. That's what Mr. Carter said. It's one thing to say it. How do we do it? Where does it work? I ask you the question today, how do we stand? What does it take to stand? First thing, we must stand in faith. If we're going to stand in the promises, we must hold on to them in faith. We stand in faith. 1 John 5, verse 4 says it this way, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We must stand in faith. We must stand in faith. It's a job. It's an effort. It's tough sometimes because your eyes, it's funny how your eyes are. It's funny how your eyes are. The other day when that rain came, We were not able to get out of our subdivision, and Tyler has the Jeep, and it was like 5 or 6 in the evening. Let's try to get out for just a second, and all you could see on both sides of the street were mailboxes. And if you know the geniuses in St. Tammany do not have the mental ability to build a drainage system. It's all holes in gravity. That's all it is right now. It's ditches. And we knew that if we went, and I said, Tyler, and I'm on a street that I'm familiar with, but it for just a few moments, when you're looking at that water is there and that water is there, it throws what you're seeing there. That's with the pilots, and that's hard sometimes to teach the pilot how to fly by the instruments there, because if he goes with what he sees, he may be thinking he's going up, but he's going down, and there's a problem going on there, and it actually... It throws your, and Tyler said, man, this is weird. I'm having trouble. And we had to follow the curve of mailboxes to gingerly go, you know, they're not going to do anything about it, but if your garbage can's left out, they want to fine you for that. That's important, but they're not going to help you if you're flooding. That was a moment of soapbox. Thank you. And here we are, and he said, it's throwing me a little bit. And I said, yeah, because you're not seeing what you're used to seeing. And when we get to a point where we're not used to seeing what we're used to seeing, it's gonna be awkward. We panic sometimes. Stand in faith. That's number one. Number two, as we walk, this is especially important for guys and, well, ladies too, really. We must stand on guard. When you're on guard, you better not be snoozing. Ask the guys at the tomb. We must stand on guard. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it, meaning your heart, spring the issues of life.
You're going to have trouble. You're trying to stand in faith, but you're getting so many different things come into you, and you get anger, you get bitterness, you get news, you get other people's problems, or you get your problems, or you see other things, or somebody cuts you off, and you lose your victory on the road. I mean, all these little things happen to you right now. You try to deal with somebody right now. There's nobody wants to serve you in a store hardly anymore. You don't see that hardly. It's a whole different world these days. I've said it before. When we were kids and when you were kids, we walk in a store and there'd be a little lady working there. And you'd say, excuse me, ma'am, do you have so-and-so? She says, baby, I have it. It's right over here. Come with me. And they'd walk you over there and they'd take you to that spot. Today you walk in a store and there's a little sweet thing with purple hair and a ring in this side and one earlobe this long. And you say, sweetie, do you have so-and-so? And they go, yeah. Well, where would it be? And they look like it's a different time now. You can have a tendency to get a little out of whack in your heart, and you're not guarding your heart. You're not guarding your heart. I have to deal with that right now. I went in the post office yesterday. Saw in the door as I was walking up, a lady was coming behind me, and I moved up a little quick to get ahead of her just a little bit, and I grabbed the door, and I pulled it open for her, and she said, well, thank you. And I said, thank you for saying something. And she said, isn't that the truth? And but I'm to the point now, I have to say, you know, I got to guard my heart. I want to do God's business for him. If you want to stand, though, you got to guard your heart. Because if you don't, what isn't going to come out, that's the issues. Third thing, all of this fits here. We must stand on God's word, on the word. The Passion Translation in 2 Timothy 4:2 says it this way. Proclaim the word of God. Now notice this statement here. Stand upon it no matter what. That's a Passion Translation. No matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach when it's convenient and even when it's not. That's your walk. That's how you stand. That's how you stand, no matter what. Preach in the full expression of the Holy Spirit, but speak with wisdom, speak with patience as you instruct and as you teach the people. You cannot speak with wisdom and patience if you're not guarding your heart, if you're not standing in faith in your life. So today I come before you, and in the days after, I want to pledge that I'm going to stand on the preserving and the prevailing promises of God. Mr. Carter comes back to me right now. He says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. Notice the rhyme line. Standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail. How? Standing on the promises of God. When the storms and the fears rise up against us and against our minds, we have a stand hope, a stand promise, a stand future. Why? Because you're playing the long game, kids. You're playing the long game. And speaking of storms, how are we? What's God's expectation? Is he really expecting me to stand? Proverbs 10, Solomon wrote it this way, 10:25. When the storm has swept by and the wicked are gone, the righteous stand firm forever. And if you've been standing in faith, if you've been standing on guard, if you've been standing on the word, if you have been standing on the promises of God, the righteous will stand firm forever. I can't give you any better news than that. However, let me lovingly caution you. This is a learn by doing process. Got it? It is a learn by doing process. You don't say it. You don't wiggle your nose. You don't say bibbity bobbity boo. You don't say shabam, shazam, or anything like that. There are no magic abracadabras. No. It is an ongoing. We learn by doing. We learn by walking. We learn by precedent as we get even in the natural part of our life. We learn by walking. There are times we're going to do our best, and we'll end up in one of those ditches like the street. We'll end up in the side somewhere.
somewhere, and we lost our way, we lost our sight, we lost our landmarks along the way, but I must be standing in faith. Lord, if I do this, I know you're going to be there. I must stand on guard. Lord, I must keep my heart, my spirit right, and I must stand on the word. This is what I really believe in, and I believe you said the righteous will stand firm. It is a learn by doing process. The great revival preacher George Mueller said it this way, to learn strong faith, oh, golly, I hate these, is to endure great trials. To learn strong faith is to endure great trials. I have learned my faith, my standing firm, amid the severe testings. I stand on the promises of God for my well-being, for my mind, for my peace. I need that. There's so much. I function all day, and then it gets quiet, and I get on that bed, and I close my eyes, and I'm dead asleep, and all of a sudden your eyes go boom, and they pop open there, and you're feeling, I must stand in faith. I must stand on guard. I must stand on the word. I must stand on the promises of God for the peace and the rest of my soul. Standing on the promises. Remember the other one, I cannot fail? Watch this. Standing on the promises, I shall not fall. That's the next one. Standing on the promises, I shall not fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior. He's my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Can we really count on God? I wrote this in the margin. Naturally, you're going, why do you even ask such a dumb question? We don't answer it. We don't say it because it sounds offensive. But sometimes when we experience the fruit of not standing in faith, not standing on guard, not standing on the word, it's almost like we're not quite believing that God has the ability to come through. Here's what you need to remind yourself. And Moses reminded the children of Israel, and I like the way the Amplified Bible said it. We actually read it a couple years ago when we did the first five books in the Bible. Numbers 23. Listen to this. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should even repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good and fulfill it? Think of that with every promise, to stand on the promises of God today. Standing on the promises of God today. Standing on his promises. And in order to know the promises of God, this is profound. You got to know the word of God. You got to spend time with it. We need to know what it says and why it says it. And then, as I told you before, it is a learn-by-doing process. We have to drill. I won't go into all the details, but I honor you and I thank you for relieving me from last week. It was very hard work. You're a breeze. It was a big commitment. I drove over 800 miles in a 48-hour period and then spent a full day at a facility where a young man needed some help and some encouragement, and he's doing very, very well. But it's relentless what's going on. Some of you have military backgrounds. Some of your military backgrounds, and you understand the concept of the drill and what has to be done. It's got to get to the point where when the whistle blows or the horn sounds, you do it because it's there. You've done it. It's the reaction. It's the movement. I don't have to think about it. I've drilled this thing. I've done it over and over and over again. And when I spent that full day there, some of the stories around me were tragic. But as we walk with God, as we endeavor to stand in faith, to stand on guard, and to stand in his word, you got to drill until it's in you. You do it over and over. Until it's in you. Until it's in you over and over. You do it mechanically until it gets in you. Because when the bullets start flying, there's no time to stop and think and pull out the manual. We believe it, we confess it, and we work it. We declare it until it comes to pass or until he blows the final horn. So I'm begging you this morning, do not let weariness, do not let discouragement, do not human nature take you out when you're not walking in faith, standing in faith, believing and speaking faith. Don't let this happen. This is so big because in the natural, weariness and discouragement will take us out. Some of us have been praying prayers and we've not seen anything budge. We've not seen anything change. There are times when you keep praying that and there's something inside of you that goes, I'm going to pray it again, but this isn't working right now. First off, you must realize and you must start looking at God, your Father, as the one who keeps his promise. Amen. He is the promise keeper. You can stand on what he said. You know, Jeremiah 32, when he's going back and forth with Jeremiah there, just to paraphrase it, I won't read it, but just to paraphrase Jeremiah 32, 27, basically he's saying this, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything? And all of we go, no, and we smile like we know the answer, but yet inside there's something there that there's a little glitch that we hit when we hit the wall there and we start saying, well, it's not going to work. Just, you're not told to stop there. You're told to drill until it gets in you. Drill until it's second nature to you. It's a promise you've been waiting for. Don't come out of that. Oral Roberts used to have a thing. He used to do. Don't believe all the crazy media and stuff like that. He was a good man. Man of faith. We learned a lot from him. But he was a man. Flawed man. But he would have a deal, and he did it with me a few times. I know he did it with Linda some. And say something, how you doing? He'd come up and his hands were like this big. And I remember a few times and there was something. And he grabbed me and he looked at me. And I'm looking up at him. And he says to me, he said, look at me right now. He says, we are coming into agreement. And he's got both of my hands. And he said, we're not coming out of it. We're not coming out of it. We're not coming out of it. Don't come out of your standing in faith. Don't come out of standing on the promises of God. Remind God. See, when you remind God of his promises and you keep declaring, you're not doing it to remind God. We're doing it to keep you between the mailboxes when you can't see. We're not doing it for God. God didn't need the rainbow. Oh, my. I put a rainbow up there. Oh, I can't do that anymore. That's not for God. It's for us to keep us between the lines, to keep us standing on his promises. Keep declaring God's word out of your mouth. Even when you can't see it, declare it. When we do this, you're not reminding him because God hasn't forgotten. It is to stir you. It is to stir me in the areas of my life where I have stopped or where I have grown lax in my believing. And we all do that. We all grow lax in our believing. We're all flying high today. But there are days. Why? Because there are people out there. There are circumstances, there are things, there are days when we're not on fire and we're all that way and we grow lax, we grow weary. And when you grow weary like the fighter, your arms drop a little bit. And when your arms drop a little bit, you're going to get punched in the head. Lock in on this. You can trust God's word. Lock in on God's word. Again, that great chapter, Psalm 119, but verse 89 said, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. One translation says, your word firmly stands in the heavens. So I'm telling you to stand, therefore. I'm going to keep reminding myself, and you do the same. I'm going to stand. I'm going to make this. Now, you're going to say this and you're going to feel, but you're going to get in the car and you're going to hear something. You're going to see something. Something's going to happen. You need to, that's why you do it in the morning. Lord, I'm going to stand fixed. You do it at noon. You do it in the evening. Stand therefore, say, I will stand. James 5 said it this way. James, one of my favorite New Testament books. You too, y'all, be patient and stand firm because the coming of the Lord is near. Amen. Now, he wrote that for those guys. Could I be on firm ground by saying, we're closer than they were? We're closer than they were. Take that with you today. When's it going to be? I don't know, but we're closer than they were. We're closer than they were. We're much closer than they were, and it seems to be escalating right now. How do I stand?
You know where I'm going to end? I stand on the promises of God. What about what God has promised? What about what he said in his Bible? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 1. For all of God's promises, for all of God's, this is 2 Corinthians. That's first. It should be 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. I'll read it for you. It's no problem. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen means yes. That's New Living Translation, which ascends to God for his glory. All of his promises come to us. So could you stand with me and maybe sing that chorus, Standing on the Promises of God? Could you stand with me right now? And could you just sing just the chorus with me right now? Maybe go back and look in the hymnal. Maybe Google the hymn. Maybe look up some of the stories and maybe some of the great hymns. Maybe you remember Sunday school songs. But it's a real simple, and it goes like this. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. Standing, I'm standing on the promises. Do the chorus one more time. I'm standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. And everybody said,